God bless you. This morning we're gonna sing On the Wings of the Wild Snow. So we wanna sing in French. Noé avait navigué si les eaux plusieurs jours. Il chercha la terre ferme de plusieurs manières, de plusieurs manières. Les ennuis, il en a bien eu, mais non pas du ciel, mais non pas du ciel. Je lui donne à son signe, je lui donne à son signe, sous les ailes d'une colombe. Aussi les ailes d'une colombe, si les ailes d'une colombe blanche comme neige, Dieu envoya son amour d'eau pure, un signe du ciel,
un signe du ciel,
sous les ailes d'une colombe,
si les ailes d'une colombe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe blanche comme neige, Dieu envoya son amour d'eau pure, un signe du ciel,
un signe du ciel,
sous les ailes d'une colombe. Jésus, notre sauveur, un jour sur la terre, mais dans une étable, dans une crèche de paille,
dans une crèche de paille,
ici bas rejeté, mais non pas du ciel,
mais non.
Je lui donne à son signe,
je lui donne à son signe,
si les ailes d'une colombe,
oh, si les ailes d'une colombe,
oh, si les ailes d'une colombe, blanche comme neige,
Dieu envoya son âme,
son amour d'eau pure, un signe du ciel.
Les ailes d'une colombe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe, blanche comme neige, et envoya son amour d'eau pure,
un signe du ciel,
un signe du ciel,
sous les ailes d'une colombe.
Bien qu'il y a beaucoup souffert de bien de manières, j'ai crié pour la guérison, la nuit comme le jour,
la nuit comme le jour,
oh, mais la foi ne fut
pas
oubliée. Dieu me donne à son signe,
Dieu me donne à son signe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe, blanche comme neige,
Dieu envoya son
amour d'eau pure.
Colombe,
sur les ailes d'une colombe,
blanche comme
all stand. Amen. Let's sing that again. As Brother Wade comes.
On the wings of a snow white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
We knew what they were singing. It was just in their language. But we sure appreciate that. Appreciate having all of you here today. And got almost a full house, but we got a lot of people out. A lot of people are out. Brother John, different ones are out traveling. And we got a bunch group of ladies out traveling. And just pray for them as they're continuing on their journey and get them back safe. Good to have Sister Shirley and Brother Noah with us. We've known them for a while. They've been in India for many, many years. And spend time there. And it's good to see them here, though.
Amen.
We're American. Sorry, but I spent 3 weeks in the Philippines, and I was really glad to come back home. I love them over there. I love it, I love it, I love it. But I almost kissed the ground when I got back here. Ain't no place like home.
Amen.
And ain't no place like us going home.
Amen.
And today we're going to listen to Brother Noel. We are sorry, but the some of the family and June and I will be leaving at about 11 or so, and Brother Anderson and his family. Good to see Brother Wilson with us. That's if you didn't know that, that's Sister Anna's daddy. I know it doesn't look like it. Young as he looked, but he used to fellowship with us a while, and he backslid and went to New Jersey. Why? But you're back here. Yeah, that's right. He still keeps up with us, but good to see you, Brother Wilson, with us. And you know why we're leaving, so just pray for us as we're going to speak to the family down there with the loss of the child. And it's tough, but God knows.
Amen.
Listen, God knows everything. He's got it in control, so we'll just let him control it. But today we're going to listen to Brother Noel. He'll be with you for both services. He'll be taken care of while we leave, but like I said, some of us will be slipping out and going to the funeral at 2 o'clock today. And God bless you. Wednesday night, as far as I know, I hadn't heard from Brother Landland. Our Brother Rolando Genesis will be here on Wednesday to speak for us. And then remember next Saturday at 3 o'clock, youth meeting, Brother Andrew Glover, 3 o'clock. Have you got your list of... Sister Monica's going to have the list. We're going to do a taco bar. There will be a good many people here. From other churches, Brother Martin said he was coming, bringing his kids with him, and Brother Luke said he was going to send a group also. So let's just keep that in prayer. We'll have a good time, 3 o'clock Saturday, and that's open for everyone to come. It's not just for the youth, but it will be catered toward the youth. And then also we'll have just one service on Sunday, and it'll be Sunday morning, regular 9:45 service. So let's sing On the Wings of a Snow White Dove as our brother comes and speaks to us today. Brother Noel Johnson from... Y'all still live in Columbia, or do you... You still live in Columbia? No? North Carolina?
Rutherfordton.
Okay, I knew y'all... They go to Brother Joe Green's church, and he's a minister there, and we sure appreciate him. Always been a good friend to have, and love to keep up with them when they're in India. So we're always praying for you, whether you see us or not. We're always praying for them there in India, because, man, they spend, like, months, and I ain't like, Send someone.
Amen.
And, right? And Brother Joe said, you come from that church that says, if you can't go, send somebody. So we sent somebody. So we sure appreciate Brother Noel and Sister Shirley. So let's sing On the Wings of a Snow White Dove as our brother comes to minister with. On the wings of... you sing.
White dove, God sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
I want to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's my privilege to be here amongst you.
Amen.
I'm not much on preliminaries. If you're standing, turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and read verses 5 through 10. And my wife and I had been, we'd been going to India for the last 17 years. Normally when we go, we spend a minimum of a month and a half, sometimes as long as 2 months. And then when we're always glad to get home.
Amen.
So, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 5, says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." And let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, it is our privilege to gather ourselves together in your presence around your word. And then, Lord, to hear what you'd have for us this morning. It's fallen my lot to stand before the purchase of your blood. But, Lord, I want you to be you speaking and not me. You placed a thought on my heart, Lord, but it's going to take you to be able to express it and make it so that the people can understand. So, Lord, we're asking for your sovereignty. We're asking for your presence and anointing, that, Lord, we all may, in your presence, be able to enjoy your presence and enjoy your word. For I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. It's interesting, in Hebrews it talks about, "Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he say, a sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." And when I was thinking about that, we have to realize that God has created another body. And we are that body. God, from the beginning of the world, he knew who you were. He knew the color of your hair. He knew everything there is to know about you. But what he has done, he has taken his seed and placed it in you. And the seed that he has placed in you is himself. I mean, the seed we have is the seed of God. Well, what can the seed of God produce? If it produces the life of the seed, then the only thing we can produce is God. In Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was God. He was born the Son of God. God bypassed the fleshly nature. I mean, anyway, he placed a seed within Mary. He caused that seed to grow. And that seed, when it matured, all of a sudden it came forth when it was born. But when he came forth, he was the Son of God. But see, this relates to us in so many different ways. Brother Branham, in the rising of the sun, he makes a statement. He says, "In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheave waved again in the last day." And when I was looking at that, in the bride coming of Christ, it's talking about Jesus Christ himself so coming in bride form until the bride becomes the literal manifestation of him. It's not about us. It's about him. It's not what we do for God. It's what we allowed him to do through us. But we have to learn to yield ourselves. We have to recognize who we are. We've had the message. God sent a prophet unto us in this generation. God, through that prophet, was trying to tell the bride, this is who you are. You are not just sinners saved by grace. You are sons and daughters of God that have been fully restored to your rightful position with God. You're coming to the place where you have free access to God. You are his child. Brother Branham, in one place, he says, God would rather listen to his child than he would the angels. When we go to our Father, if we had servants, if we had a business and we had people working for us and they came with suggestions, that's one thing. But when all of a sudden, hey, as a son, I go to my father, hey, Dad, do you think we should do it this way or that way? He's willing to listen to me because I'm his son. Well, it's come down to the place now where God's willing to listen to us. But actually, it's come to the place now where actually what we are supposed to be doing is listening to him. We are supposed to be led by him. We are supposed to be guided by him in every aspect. Just as Jesus Christ had to follow the leadership of the God that dwelt inside of him, we have to learn how to follow the leadership of God in our lives. It could be coming to the place where there is no difference here. That as God directed Jesus Christ, he now must direct us. Because now we are this body of Jesus Christ. We are the body of God upon the face of this earth. And that's what God sent the prophet to tell us. He began to tell us, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, in many places, he says, you know, it's not about me, it's not about what I do, but it's because I allow the God that is inside of me to come and express himself through me. And the words that he began to express, especially after the seals, he began to try and tell the bride, this is who you are. You are not going to be the sons of God. You are the sons of God. When you were born, you were sons and daughters of God. But you had to come into this. You had to be born in flesh so that you could develop a character. But when you were born, you were sons and daughters of God. Because God's seed was in you. Your parents brought forth the body you live in. But God had placed his seed in you from the foundations of the world. And what he is now, he's trying to take that seed that he has placed in you and bring that seed into full manifestation, to full expression. And when that seed that was placed in you comes into full manifestation and expression, you will be the manifestation of God. But Jesus Christ did only what the Father showed him to do. And that's where the bride now has to come. God sent the prophet, and the prophet delivered the message that God intended for him to deliver to us. He came to tell us that this is who you are. It's like when I was raised in the Baptist church. I was a sinner, saved by grace. The emphasis was on sinner. I will always be a sinner. Well, I still am a sinner saved by grace. But this message taught me something which is vastly superior to that. He said, you were a son of God. When you were born, you were a son of God. And now you've been restored to your rightful position as a son of God. But now we have to come into the position where we actually will accept what God says that we are. To what Brother Brown says, another place, he says, we live way below our privileges. Because as sons and daughters of God, we have control over Satan. We don't have to put up with him.
That's right.
But I mean, as kind of a funny way of expressing, my wife, she had a cough, and she was coughing and was keeping me awake. Well, I like my sleep.
Amen.
And so she was nice enough. She went to the front room, and she leaned on the recliner, and she was, you know, she was trying to let me sleep. Well, her coughing was still keeping me awake. So what did I do? I went into where she was at, and I said, Satan, I'm tired of you being here. I'm tired of you keeping me awake. You have to leave, because now I'm telling you, get out.
Amen.
And that's exactly what I told him. She quit coughing. I got to go to bed and go back to sleep.
Amen.
But I have the authority. I have the authority by virtue of who I am. Because I am a son of God, I have authority because Jesus has given me that authority. I have the authority to take Satan and tell him to leave. And when I command him to leave, he has no choice. Not because of who I am, but because of what I represent. I am a son of God. I know that I am a son of God. And therefore, because I know I am a son of God, I can exercise the authority as a son. And Satan doesn't have to listen to me. He has to listen to the one who has called me. He has to listen to the Jesus Christ that dwells inside of me. And when that Jesus Christ inside of me anoints his word that I speak, that's no longer me speaking, it's God speaking through me. And Satan has to obey that. He has to obey that. And this comes down to all of us. Satan has to obey us because of who we are. Because we are the seed of God. We are the God's representation upon the face of this earth. We talk about it. It talks about it. It says, a body hast thou prepared me. Well, that relates to us. Because God, we are the body that God now resides in.
Yeah.
I mean, you said, where is God? I'm looking at him.
Amen.
I'm looking at the body of God himself.
Yes.
Because God dwells in you.
Amen.
When you were born, you were sons and daughters of God. You had to come through, you were born in flesh. That gives us natures that we continuously fight. But later on, we through the gospel, we responded to the gospel. When the message came across our path, we responded to that. But until you receive the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, then you all of a sudden, then you are born into the place where now you are the sons and daughters of God. Up until that point, you can fumble around and do what you want to. But once God comes and lives inside of you, once that new birth takes place in you, there has to be a change in your life. If there's no change, there's no conversion. But once there's a conversion, once Jesus Christ comes inside of you with the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden begins to live his life out through you, that becomes the difference. We go and we begin to look at other bodies that God dwelt in. We begin to look at Moses. Moses was born for a specific purpose. He was to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt. He didn't like his job. He tried to refuse it once, but, you know, God doesn't have plan B. He called, he chose, and says, you're going to do it. He tried to talk his way out of it, and God says, no, you're going to do it anyway because I've ordered you to do that. We look at the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells God, he says, you lied to me. I didn't realize what I was going to have to live through because of my calling. And Jeremiah tried to quit. But all of a sudden he says, there's something inside of my body. There's a word burning within me. He says, I can't do anything else, but I have but to proclaim what God had given to him. Well, where are we at in this plan? We are his body. God placed his seed in you. Because that seed was placed in you, he elected that seed. He elected that seed to become what God intended for it to be. And this now here again, it begins to apply unto us. We have to start accepting who we are. I mean, I find a lot of people in churches, and probably not here, but they go ahead and they listen to the prophet's message, and oh yeah, that was wonderful. We pick out little things we agree with here and we agree with there, but we never apply it. We never come down to the place we are accepting what God said we are. Once you begin to accept what God said that you are, that changes things. Because then all of a sudden, then you realize you have the power and the authority over Satan. You have the power and authority over sickness. You have the power and authority over all of the works of darkness. But until you accept that, you will never be able to manifest that. Until you begin to realize, no, I am a son of God. I am the body that God dwells in. And because God dwells in me, and if I can yield to the Spirit of God that dwells in me, I can command Satan. And Satan has to obey that because it's no longer me, but it's him. When we look in Isaiah, it says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. When Jesus Christ was born, he was the Son of God. You know, it's interesting, within Jesus Christ, he bypassed the fleshly birth, okay? At least it wasn't a relationship between God and Mary, okay? But so God placed within Mary a seed. And that seed, Mary had to carry that seed. Mary had to carry that seed until it would come to maturity, until that seed could actually come into manifestation, be born. Well, see, all of a sudden, that's the same thing that happened down through the church ages. God planted his seed in the church on the day of Pentecost. But what was the function of the church? The church was to be the carrier of that life. And since it was the carrier of that life, the church protected that seed until it could come and reach maturity. We're in the last age. We're in the last days. That seed that was planted on Pentecost must come to maturity. It must come into full manifestation. And that's where we are at in the bride coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will soon come and live within the bride until it's no longer her, but it's God living his life through her. As God dwelt in Jesus Christ and expressed himself through Jesus Christ, now he's going to come and he's going to express through us, the bride, the same thing that he expressed through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, it says, in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world. Jesus Christ was in the Logos form when he began to speak. God had to go from a spirit form into some physical form. And while in that physical form, the process of creation began. But it comes down and it comes on later on. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand. But Jesus Christ was the express image. He was an exact duplication of what God is. But see, now God has come into a new body. That's us. We are to become that express image. We are to become that full manifestation of God. I mean, this is a big step. I mean, especially mentally speaking. When you begin to claim that you are a son of God, When you begin to recognize that you are a son, you are a manifestation of God Himself. I mean, we look at ourselves and says, "Yeah, I don't think so." I mean, there are days that, I have my bad hair days. I still have a few. But we come to the place where we have to begin to realize it's not about us. It's about Him. Jesus Christ did only what the Father showed Him to do. Wherever He went, whatever He did, it was under the direct authority and command of the God that dwelt in Him. God, Brother Branham says, well, in the Scriptures, he says Jesus Christ prayed often because He wanted to know what God's will is. One of the times He told the disciples, we have to go by way of Samaria. Samaria was not in the direct route to where they were thinking they were going. But God directed him to go there because there was a seed there that had to be ministered unto. Why do we go the places we go? Why are we directed by the Spirit to some of the places we go? Because God has a seed someplace, and God is wanting to express Himself to the people that are around you. You know, Brother Branham says, my sons and daughters of God, he says, we can create a world and go live on it. Well, this universe couldn't tolerate 10,000 worlds. But he says we can create an atmosphere. Brother Branham, one day he was, his wife, the family was all upset and everything was going on. And so Brother Branham just quietly, he went over, he put his hands upon his wife and he prayed silently for her. He prayed for God's Spirit to come down. He created an atmosphere. And slowly but surely, he says, all the arguments with the kids, all of that went by the wayside. And all of a sudden, I mean, everything just settled down. But see, wherever we go, we can create an atmosphere. I don't like the atmosphere outside of the church. I don't like Walmart. I don't like going shopping. I don't like a whole bunch of other things. So what I try and do is I try and create an atmosphere. So whenever I go, I try to be kind. I try to be gentle. I try to say good words. I mean, when you go to check out at a grocery store, They're supposed to say, how are you? It's probably just an automatic thing. And so you respond back, I'm doing great. How are you doing? And that kind of takes them back sometime. I'm inviting them into my world. I'm inviting them to experience what I experience. Because wherever I go, I try and have Jesus Christ. I try and create an atmosphere where there's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and patience and meekness. And so whenever I talk unto them, I'm inviting them into my world. And if they will respond to my world, then we can draw them into Jesus Christ. And if we can draw them into Jesus Christ, if there's a seed there, they will respond to that. And all of a sudden, then they will become and experience what we are. Jesus Christ was every bit human. Brother Branham says he was all man and he was all God. It talks about in Hebrews, he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications, strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save from him death, and that he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. So his flesh had a different desire. His flesh did not want to go to the cross. His flesh did not want to hang on the tree. He knew what was waiting for him. And that's why he prayed in the garden. But he had to take his will, the will of his flesh, and submit it unto the will of the Father. But see, sometimes this is where we have to come. We do not necessarily want to go where God is directing our lives. But if God is directing our lives, it's not about us fulfilling our will and our desire. No, it's about us fulfilling the desire and the will of God. Why do we go to India? Because that's where God directed me. This last trip we went to India was a very difficult trip for us. In reality, I didn't want to go. But all of a sudden, God put things in our pathway. I mean, the visas had expired, so we had to get new though. That went through no problem, and then the finances came in. Well, that was, and so I figured, well, okay, Lord, whether I want to or not, I'm going to India. So we went there. We spent a little over 6 weeks. First 3 weeks wasn't too bad, and then I got food poisoning. So for the last three weeks, really, I was very, very sick. Then my wife came down with a flu. That put her in bed for a week. But when we went there, I accomplished what I believe God sent me to accomplish. But it was not an easy trip this time, and I was kind of fearful it was. But anyway, but here again, it's taking my will and submitting it to His will. So, Lord, You have directed, You have guided. Obviously, You have a reason for me going. And so therefore we win. And other ministers, I know they go different places, and they have to minister a certain thing. But it's learning to take our will and submit it to the will of the Father that dwells in us, because God has a reason for that. We know that Jesus Christ, he had to be born of the lineage of David. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to sit on the throne of David in the millennium. He had to also be whipped for the purchase of our healing. He had to be born in flesh so that he could become our kinsman redeemer. And so all of these things Jesus Christ had to fulfill by his birth and by his death and resurrection. When Jesus Christ came, he had a commission. He mentions that. He quotes it from Isaiah. But he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." John the Baptist was expecting the king. And the disciples were expecting the king. They were expecting him to go and to sit upon the throne of David and to rule and reign and get rid of all the Romans. That was not for that time. That time he had to come and redeem. When he comes back this time, no, he's coming back in power. And that's when he's going to set up the kingdom. And that's when we will rule and reign with him for over 1,000 years. But when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent some of his disciples and says, "Are you the one that we're supposed to be looking for? Because you're not doing what we're expecting you to do." And so what did Jesus Christ do? He healed the sick and he raised the dead and he performed different miracles. And he says, "Now you go and show John what I've done. Because I have come to fulfill that which is what the scriptures had spoken to me that I was to fulfill." But Brother Branham keeps talking about the same commission that Jesus Christ had. That is our commission. It hasn't changed. We are to be the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be going and recovering of sight to the blind and healing people and preaching deliverance to captives. We are supposed to be presenting unto them the gospel and bringing them into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That is our commission. It's interesting that Jesus Christ took it to the disciples and he gave them the authority. He gave them the authority to go ahead and to do the things that God was doing through him. And because he gave them the authority, then they could go about and they could do what based upon the authority that they now possessed. Jesus Christ, before he was death, before his crucifixion, he talks in John the 17th chapter, and he talks about us here. He says, "Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is where this oneness can take place. Because Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was the Son of God. It wasn't until John baptized him in the River Jordan that all of a sudden the Spirit of God came upon him. And that's when Jesus Christ literally became one with the Father. Because then all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus Christ. Well, and the disciples, when you look at them, I mean, they were arguing and bickering and fighting who is going to be the greatest and who is going to sit on his right hand and the left hand and all these other types of stuff. And this is not what God had in mind. It wasn't an earthly kingdom that God was desiring for them. It was a spiritual kingdom that all of a sudden they had to become into. They had to become in unity with God. And so until they received the Holy Spirit, there was no way for unity to ever exist. But here again, and when it comes down, we relate that to us. When you were born, you were sons and daughters of God. When you were born, God ordained you from before the foundation of the world to be his child. But until you receive the Holy Spirit, this unity, this oneness he talks about here was not a possibility. But once all of a sudden God comes and begins to dwell in you, then this unity that he talks about here, now this is a possibility. But see, now is the time for this possibility to become a reality. Now is the time for us to be able to manifest who we are. Because until we accept this fact, until we understand the unity that God was wanting to hear, until we accept this fact, we will never be able to accomplish what God has ordained for us to be in this day. In the bride coming of Jesus Christ will so come and live within his body, the bride, until literally the bride will become the full expression of him. Amen. This was a seed, like I said, that was planted on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. That seed has to come to full maturity. Now is the time for that. The denominational systems have all pulled away. Now it's time for the bride to come forward. Now it's time for the bride to come into full manifestation. But we draw back from this. We draw back from this. Because in order for this to take place, there has to be a total surrender from us to God. There has to be a total where all of a sudden Jesus Christ or God gains the preeminence in each and every one of us. Because only when he has the preeminence can he manifest himself through us. I mean, within me, there's two spirits. There's the one I was born with and the Spirit of God. They are not always compatible. My flesh has its own desires. I mean, you look at Paul. I mean, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. And what did he have to do? That Paul was Paul. I mean, you look at his letters. You look at Peter, you look at his letters. You look at James, you look at his letter. Their personality enters into everything that we do. Brother Branham was a man. He also had his personality. He expressed it through the things that he said and the different actions that he has. But we have to come to the place where we're willing to take ourselves and so submit it unto God until it's no longer I who live, but now God living his life through me. But to do that, it takes total preeminence. He has to have the total control. And only as I'm willing to yield myself to the Spirit of God that is in me, does he have the control to do what he's desiring to do through me. It's not about what I do for God. No, it's about what I allow him to do through me. We find this in Jesus Christ. I do only what the Father shows me to do. He didn't do his own thing. He says, Jesus Christ never healed the sick. He never raised the dead. He never performed any miracle. It was the God in him that did those things. Brother Branham, when you begin to go down and you begin to look at his life, he says, I was just standing there when God came down. I was just standing there in the river baptizing, and all of a sudden God came down. When I'm at the platform, he says, that's not me speaking, that's God speaking through me. Because he was able to yield himself into the Spirit of God that dwelt in him. And because he could yield himself to the Spirit of God that was in him, that's why God could use his voice to speak. Brother Branham, how often? He says, I have to listen to the tape to find out what I said. Because all I did was yield myself to God, and God began to speak through me. And he bypassed my mental faculties and everything else, and God just began to do what he wanted to do through him. Amen. But see, now this is where we have to come. Amen. It didn't stop with the prophet. Right. It did not stop. When Brother Branham died, God did not die with him. No, it took there was a transformation of the ministry. All of a sudden, the ministry began to change. When you look at Revelation 10, Revelation 10:1, the book's open. The mighty angel had that book. That book was open. Who was it open to? It was open to the bride. We come down Revelation, and then there was the thunders that was done. And Brother Branham, God through the prophet, began to reveal unto us the secret that was contained in those thunders. The book, the seals had been broken, and it goes down to Revelation 10:7. The days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God is going to be finished. We are that mystery. We are the mystery of the manifestation of God upon the face of this earth. And then, now we look at when God had fulfilled his ministry through the prophet, then all of a sudden we go down to Revelation 10:8. John, eat the book. John, you eat the book. Because now you have to become one with that word. Because now the bride has a ministry. There's something that we have to fulfill. We're looking at the manifestation of the sons of God. We're looking at the time of the rapture. We're looking at the time of our adoption. We're looking at the time of the changing of our body. All these other wonderful things. But we have to come into our position. We have to eat the book. We have to become, we have to come to the place where it's no longer I who live, but now it's God himself living his life through me. This is where we as the bride have to rise to that level. But we have to die to ourselves in order for that to take it to take place. In Philippians 2, starting at verse 5, let this mind or this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form, the express image of God, thought not robbery to claim equality with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He acted just like a common man. And he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of man. And being fashioned like that, he humbled himself to become obedient to the death on the cross. Well, this is the mindset that Jesus Christ had. He knew who he was.
Amen.
He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was God incarnate in flesh. And because he was God incarnate in flesh, all the power of God was, he had access to it. He could take fishes and loaves and feed multitude. He could speak to the storm would cease. He could raise the dead. He could do all these wonderful things. But he never did any of those things without the authorization from his Father. Okay. So where does God dwell now? Dwells in us. We need the same mindset. We have to be willing to acknowledge we are the sons and daughters of God. We have to be willing to acknowledge God dwells in me. But we also, now we have to realize that with the power of God that dwells in us, God is the one who's supposed to be operating that power. God is the one who is supposed to be operating the gifts that he has placed in us. Brother Branham, in his early ministry, he would go around, he said, he had prayer lines. Oh, yeah, bring the hard cases. Bring the blind and the lame and all this other types of stuff. The angel said, don't do that.
Right.
Brother Branham didn't listen.
Right.
It went on for a couple of services, and finally God just backed off. He says, you think you can do it? Go for it. They had a prayer line, and the first one came up, and that person wasn't healed. The second one came up, and the same. And I think the third one was a child, and Brother Branham realized, God's not in this. And all of a sudden he went and he had to repent of that. And the angel said, God has placed a gift in you for God to operate, not for you to operate. When you take that gift and give it over unto God, then God will operate it through you. But it's not for you to operate it. And so as ministers, we have to learn the fact God has placed within us a gift. But we have to take that gift and give it to God. And so we ask God, he says, you anointed, you put the words together, you control the thoughts of our mind, so that what we're saying is not what we want to say, but it's because it's something you want to express. And we have to take our gifts and turn it over unto God so that God can operate it through us. Brother Branham, in another place, the angel talked, Brother Branham was questioning the spoken word. And the angel began to talk to him. He says, who is that speaking when all you're under the discernment? Oh, he says, no, that's God speaking. He says, what happens when you stand as minister and all of a sudden another thought comes into your mind and you follow that thought? Who's that? Well, that's God speaking. So when a minister gets up and he begins to minister, it's no longer the minister speaking. It's God guiding the thoughts so that those thoughts which are expressed are God's thoughts. And if you can receive it as God's thoughts, it will mean a whole lot more than you do. Well, it was a good service. Yeah, the preacher preached a nice sermon today. No, it has to go beyond all of that. It has to come to the reality. No, it's God speaking through the ministry unto you. So that sometimes ministers get up there and they wander all over everywhere. Because there's different needs within the congregation. And God is trying to minister into every member of the body of Jesus Christ. And if we can accept it as that, all of a sudden then you can receive it as the word of God. It should give you the strength. It should give you the encouragement that you need. The bride is to be the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. God has taken and placed a seed within us. And like Brother Branham, he talks about it in one place, it talks about a seed. God placed within Mary a seed. That seed, she had to nurture that seed until the time that seed could come into manifestation. Well, the church has watched over the seed that was planted on Pentecost until that seed could come into full manifestation. Well, that seed has to come into full expression in us. This is the bride coming of Jesus Christ. This is where Christ so comes and lives within his bride until it's no longer us living, but it's Christ living his life through us. And you think, oh, this is going to be something super and spiritual. Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Because our personality enters into everything we do. I mean, Paul was Paul. Brother Branham was Brother Branham. He still liked to hunt. He still liked to fish. He still liked to do this, that, and the other thing. But he was willing to take himself and yield himself over to the Spirit of God that dwelt in him. But see, now it comes down into us. We have to be willing to yield ourselves under the Spirit of God that dwells in us. In the Patmos vision, Brother Branham, he makes some statements. He said, this morning was more of a sermon type, placing the foundation upon the deity of the revelation, God being revealed in Christ. How many believes it? God was revealed in Christ. Jehovah revealed in Christ. Now where is God to be revealed? In his church. With his people. In us. The same spirit will be the same works, the same manifestation, and that's what most people focus on. But he says the same love, the same forgiveness, the same long-suffering and gentleness and patience and peace and mercy, all that was in Christ is now in the church. Remember, keep this in mind. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and all that Christ was, he has poured into the church. God above us, God with us, and now God in us. But we have to manifest the same character. Power without character is satanic. You don't believe that? Look at our government. But we're different than that. Because we don't know how to operate the gift that God has placed in us until we have the character of Jesus Christ. And only with that character will we operate it the way God intended for it to be operated. Brother Branham in Christ and Mystery. He said, you know, that God wanted to accomplish three things. First, to express himself completely, which was God in Christ. But Christ gave God the total preeminence in his life. He's second to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride, until God could have the preeminence to express himself through them. But it takes the preeminence. Preeminence means total control. When I'm driving, I take the preeminence. Now it has these other little things on it. Now it'll control the speed and it'll control the steering. When I get in a storm, I turn off the speed and I turn off the steering because I want the control. Because I don't know what's coming. But see, now all of a sudden I have to take myself because I don't know where I'm going. So I have to allow him to take over the driver's seat. I have to let him have the preeminence in my life. I have to allow him to have total control of my body and my thoughts and my mind so that I can express what he wants. It's interesting, Brother Branham talks about he was up in Washington State, I think it was, and he was preaching. And there was a young man, he was in the military, and he was going to commit suicide because there was a spirit on him that bothered him, that was bothering this individual. And Brother Branham spoke to him directly. And then they began to go up the Alaskan Highway, and they pulled into a restaurant to get something to eat. And Brother Branham was just joking and being himself. And all of a sudden, another car pulled in and parked, and that man Brother Branham had talked to, he says, that man walked in. The ones that I've tell of that incident, they says, all of a sudden, Brother Branham's whole countenance changed because God needed him. And so he went over and he ministered unto that young man and began to pray for him until that man was delivered from the spirit. But see, Brother Branham had to be willing to go ahead and yield himself to that spirit. We had a brother in our church, and he had operated on his elbow. The operation was successful, and then he got an infection. And anyway, he ended up going to Charlotte. I hate driving into Charlotte. And God directed me, he says, you go pray for him. But I hate going to Charlotte. The traffic is horrible. And anyway, I was arguing. And God says, no, you go pray. Well, I says, why not the pastor? Why not the deacons? Why not? No, you go. I could have stopped God. I had that power. I could have said no. And what God wanted me to do would have never been accomplished. But I turned my will over to his will, and I drove into Charlotte and went, found the guy's room he was in, and we visited a little bit, and he kind of wondered, well, what are you doing here? I says, God sent me here to pray for you because what you're dealing with now is not a medical issue. What you're dealing with now is a spiritual issue because there's a spirit in there which is attacking that elbow, which is attacking what God had done. And so I prayed. I took authority over the demon that was in his elbow, casting that out. And from that point on, then the healing began. But if I had not gone, never would have happened. Same in your lives. God directs you. If God is directing you, obey it. Because God has a purpose for you going where you're going and doing the things which you're doing. You don't have to call upon the pastor to pray. I'm not saying not to. But do you realize that you have the same authority and power that he has? The Bible says we're kings and priests unto God. What does a king do? A king rules over a kingdom. Who do we rule over? We rule over Satan's kingdom. He has to obey us. We're priests. What does a priest do? A priest intercedes on behalf of someone else. So if somebody comes to you, hey, brother, or sister, hey, I need prayer, pray for them. Amen. You have the same authority. You have the same right. You have the same Holy Ghost. Pray for them because your faith will touch. Brother Bradham, in another place, he said there was this young lady. She had a child. The child was sick. And all of a sudden, God impressed upon this lady after she'd given her seat to pray for this young child. And she said, well, she's got a prayer card. Brother Bradham's going to pray for the child. And still, she felt moved, so she asked the lady in a nice, quiet voice, would you mind if I prayed for your child? Oh, no, she said, that would be just wonderful. So she prayed for the child. And then she went and found another place to sit. That mother and child were taken before Brother Bradham. And Brother Bradham looked at the thing. He says, well, your child's already healed. And then God says, hey, somebody had prayed for you. That young lady sitting up on the balcony, she's the one that offered a prayer. Because of her prayer, that child is healed. It didn't have to be Brother Bradham's prayer. Your prayers will have the same effect. Just enter into the Spirit of God and let God through you begin to speak through you and take care of the need of that person. You don't have to. I mean, we have prayer lists for people we pray for in our church. And that's fine. But why doesn't the person, when somebody says, hey, I want you to pray for us, why don't you just do it? Amen. I mean, I'm not trying to do away with other people praying. Don't get me wrong on that. I know there was a time I thought my wife was having a heart attack. And when we were in the hospital, and my prayers wouldn't get past the ceiling. I relied upon the prayers of the saints in our congregation. I relied upon one of them touching God for us. And God honored that. God went and he touched my wife and everything came out fine. But like I say, there are times my prayers ain't going to do anybody any good, especially me. So that's why I rely upon the body of Jesus Christ. He says, you get in touch with God. I know when we were there in India this time, all of a sudden my wife had caught the flu. Her breathing became labored and uneven. And I said, well, Lord, you're the only hope we've got. So I got it. I got on the internet, managed to get in touch with my pastor, and there's five or six of the brothers began to pray. And a half an hour later, her breathing became normal and regular and not labored. And then she slept for the next day. It was them interceding for us. But this goes with all of us. Brother Branham and the lady are seeing church age. He says, here he stands revealing who he is in this last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. Amen. Creation of God. Yeah. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells which was necessary for a body to be formed. Yeah. He says, what was God doing? God was beginning to create himself, just as he created it, just as he created within Mary the seed which was necessary to bring forth that body. So God has also placed his seed in you. And that seed is to grow and to mature. And eventually it's supposed to grow until you become the very manifestation of God himself. Brother Branham goes on, he says, this talking about Jesus Christ, he says, this is the God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. God, man and God met and joined. He was the first of a new race. He was the head of this new race. You see what you can see that through man was of the old order or creation. But now in union with Christ, he has become a new creation of God. When we join with Jesus Christ, when we are in Jesus Christ, when we literally become a part of him by the new birth, by the new birth, all of a sudden we become part, we are no longer part of Adam's creation.
Amen.
Our bodies, yes, because that's what Satan can attack. But there's something inside that's different. Now we are the creation of God. We are now God living in your flesh.
Amen.
You know, we designate God the Father, God the Son, okay? God the Father was how God existed when he was dealing with Israel. But then we come to, was God in Jesus Christ manifesting? There was, okay, now it's the Holy Spirit. Well, I was raised in the Baptist church. So the Trinitarian thought is always playing in my mind. No, God is God. God in the Old Testament, that was God. He speak, you know, he do what he did. God in Jesus Christ, that was still God. God was manifesting himself in that body. What is the Holy Spirit? It's God in me. It's God in you. The same God that we look in the Old Testament where God spoke and all of a sudden the universe and everything came into creation. That's the same God who dwells in you. And that God doesn't has never been defeated.
Right.
Everything is subject to him.
Right.
Everything without exception. So when all of a sudden Satan harasses you, you just say, Father, this he's bothering me again.
Yeah.
Why cry? Speak.
Amen.
We make it complicated. It's not. The message is simple. The gospel is simple. The simplicity is God now, where's God dwelling? He's in you.
Right.
Well, if God dwells in you, why are you hindering him? It's like we talked to the ones in India, where does God dwell? Oh, he dwells in my heart. Well, that's good. Why don't you let him out once in a while? Why don't you release him?
Right.
Why don't you allow him to do what he wants to do?
Yes.
Because if you'll release the God that is within you, all of a sudden God can express himself through you.
Yes.
There's no difference here. We make it complicated. Only the pastor can do this. Only the deacons can do this. No, every member of the congregation.
Yes. Right.
There's no difference here. If God dwells in you, that's God.
Amen.
Well, if God dwells in you, let him operate.
Amen.
Let him express himself. Let him manifest himself.
Amen.
This new creation is not an old creation made over, or it can never be called a new creation. This is exactly what it says. It's a new creation. This is another creation distinct from the old one. It's no longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh, but now that is how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham and Abraham's seed through the godly line Isaac. But now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He was the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. God the creator creating himself a part of his creation. God creating himself in you. Until you become the manifestation and the expression of God.
Amen.
This is the message.
Yes. Right.
This is the whole purpose and the whole plan of God.
Right.
God had children. Within God was seeds. God planted that seed. God planted that seed in you. That seed has to come to manifestation. What will that seed produce? Because it's the life of God. The only thing it can produce is God. And if you will allow that seed to continue to grow and mature inside you, why do we come to church? To receive encouragement, to take that seed and to water it and to fertilize it and give that seed what it needs until it can grow and grow and grow until finally it can come into full manifestation. And why did God send the prophet? Why all the miracles and all the manifestations of God? Why could he speak to the storm and call it out of existence? Why could he create squirrels, speak the squirrels into existence? Why could he pray for the sick and see them healed? Why could all these miracles and manifestations to follow his life? Was that just a waking like, oh my, that was wonderful in the prophet? Bring it to you.
Yes, sir.
What's the difference?
Hello.
God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
He's not going to make all of us prophets. No, that was the office that he had. But we are sons and daughters of God. There's no difference here. There's no distinction. He just allowed the God that was in him to express itself through him. And now what's he trying to do? He's trying to express himself through you. There's no difference here. But you have to believe that. You have to be willing to accept what God says that you are. And God sent the prophet in this generation to us. So that we could look at him and says, oh, that's God. That's God expressing himself. Now, where is God? God lives inside of me. Well, if he expressed himself in the prophet in that way, he can express me the same way. There's no difference. There's no distinction. Amen. What was the difference? Brother Branham knew who he was. He knew he was the prophet to this age. He knew God spoken to him. He knew when God gave him a vision. He knew that vision was true. He would go and he would act upon that vision because he says, God never lies. Well, now all of a sudden, God has come into us. How does God speak to you? Does he whisper thoughts in your ears? I mean, God speaks to me in different ways. Sometimes he speaks to me through the ministry. Sometimes he speaks to me through my wife. Sometimes he just something in my head. I mean, there are times he says, your attitude's terrible today, isn't it? I says, yes, sir. He says, don't you think you should change it? Well, yes, sir. He says, well, yes, sir. So then you start singing songs and you try to enter into his presence. God inhabits the praise of his people. It's that simple. I mean, we're all human beings here. I mean, I don't think anybody here is above the point of ever having a bad day. I mean, so how do we get out of the bad day? We create the atmosphere in which he is welcome. You start singing praises to God. Satan hates that. So you start singing praises to God. All of a sudden says, I'm not going to stick around here. I've heard enough, you know. And then all of a sudden God's presence is there. And then everything changes. This new creation is not the old creation made over. Or it could not be called a new creation. It's exactly what it is. It's a new creation. This is another creation distinct from the old one. We already read all of that. Okay, it goes on, in perfect faith, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, they had the word and the word was flesh. This is talking to the disciples. And the word told them, I give you power. Amen, I give you the power. They had the power, but they didn't have the faith to operate the word that was now in them. Jesus Christ said, I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you the authority. So they had the authority by virtue of Jesus Christ told them, I've given you that authority. It goes on, he said, he had faith with his power, talking about Jesus Christ. How did he? He says, I can do nothing by myself. He says, why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. He had faith in the God who had made him the Word. What is the bride today? It's the Word of God expressed. That's you. You are the Word of God expressed for this generation. That's who you are. So accept the fact that you are the Word expressed for this generation and begin to operate in that mode. Begin to have the faith in the God that has made you that Word. You didn't choose to be the Word. God chose you for that Word. God chose to make you part of the Word for this generation. Else why would you listen? Why would you still believe in a prophet? Because the prophet was the word for our generation. He delivered that word unto us to make us that word, that spoken word of God. And as we listen to the tapes and we listen to what God has told us through the prophet, then all of a sudden we become the manifestation of that word. We become the expression of that word. So if God made you the word, why not accept the fact that you are the word? Amen. Brother Ram goes on and he says, this is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took the form through election. Election goes back to foreknowledge, and that goes back to the fact that you're the seed. God foreknew you because he knew his seed. Because he knew who his seed was, that's why he could foreordain you. That's why he could elect you. Because only the seed of God is elected for redemption. Anyway, he said that is why he could look down through the ages and could look over and see that what. See himself still in the midst of the church. As the author of this new creation of God, his sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. And by his omniscience and omnipotence, he has brought it to pass. Amen. What do you do? Submit. It's not about you. It's about him. Elijah, I think, was having a bad day, and he said, I'm the only one left. God, everybody's against me. I'm having his own little pity party. And God spoke to his back and he says, no, you're not the only one. I have reserved to myself 7,000. God reserved them. They could not fall because God reserved them. God has a bride because God has reserved himself a bride. God has chosen that bride. God has looked over that bride. That bride will come to full manifestation. That bride will come into the full manifestation of God. Because he's the one that has ordained you. He is the one that has called you. He is the one placed his seed inside of you. He is the one that has done all of these things. And he is the one watching over his bride. He is the one guarding and protecting her. It's about him. It's not about us. But he elected us because we are a part of him. You know, Adam could never deny Eve. Because Eve was a part of Adam. Jesus Christ can never deny us because we were always a part of him. We always were himself. We always were a part of him. And therefore, he watches over his own bride. He watches over that which he has elected, that which was a part of him from the beginning. And the restoration of the bride tree says, at that day, which is this day, you will know that I am in the Father. The Father's in me. I am in you. And you are in me. Oh, I just love that. And Satan gets so angry. See the oneness of God. See the oneness of God. You are a part of God in the beginning. You are his son and daughter. You are going back into what you were from the beginning before the fall. You were sons and daughters of God. You were part of deity. You are an expression of that deity because God's spirit dwells inside of you. It's that spirit inside of you that makes you the expression of him. And when you can take yourself and push yourself aside and let that deity live its life out through you, you become the expression of that deity. Why did people look at Brother Branham and say, oh, yeah, you're Jesus Christ? He said, well, in one way that's true, in another way it's wrong. He said, but when I yield myself to the Spirit of God in me, then that, yeah, I am him. I am expressing him. Eve could never become Adam. She was a part of Adam. She could never be Adam. We are the bride of Christ. We are his wife. We can never become him. You try and make that transition. Brother Bram says, you're making me Antichrist. No, I am an expression of him. I am a part of him. I am the one that God dwells inside of. And so here again, don't get confused when we get into that. But you have to realize also who you are. You are part of the Godhead because you are part of God. God wants to express himself through you. And when you allow him to express himself through you, then that's no longer you, that's God. But when we all of a sudden go to the rapture and all of a sudden we have the changing our body, then Brother Bram says that's going to be the adoption. That's when we literally will become him. That's when we will become what God intended for us to be from the beginning. We will be a manifestation of God's children because we will be him. Well, if we are a manifestation of God's children, then that brings us into deity. We cannot die for anybody else because we can never be him. If you follow my line, because there's a fine line here, because some people are saying, oh, yeah, I am Jesus Christ manifested in flesh. Well, if you cross the line, you've crossed the line. Then you become an antichrist. And there's people going around today saying, oh, yeah, I'm Jesus Christ. No, they've perverted the word. And that's extremely, extremely dangerous. In Laodicean church age, he says, when the Methodists failed, God raised up others. And so it has gone on through the years until in this last day, there is another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. We do not have our own message. We are the continuation of the message that God had given through the prophet. We don't come up with our own theology. We don't come up with our own stuff. If you're coming up with all of your own stuff and it's contrary to what God had spoken through the prophet, it's wrong. From that point on, just turn them off and go to another station room. And there's people that do that now. They, oh yeah, I have a greater revelation than Brother Branham had. I'm not interested. Turn it off. No, I'm interested in what God has tried to tell me through the prophet. The prophet tells me who I am. And the more I listen to what God spoke through the prophet, the more I begin to realize, no, this is what I am. This is what I am. I am a son of God. I am. I'm coming into the full manifestation of God. I now realize that I have the authority over Satan. I no longer have to put up with him. I can tell him to pack his bag. Don't even bother packing it. Just get out. Don't even take the time. Just get out. Because I have the authority by virtue of what God has given to me. By virtue of what I am, I can sit there and I can tell Satan, you have to leave and you have to do it now. And so when somebody is sick, I mean, you just go up to them and they say, well, brother, would you pray for me? You got this? Sure. So I pray for him. A couple hours later, he says, boy, the pain's all gone. Well, I says, sure, it has to be. I said so. You say, that's awful arrogant. Well, I have to believe what I pray, God hears. And if I pray and I believe God hears, then if God has heard, then God's going to answer that. Yes. Right. So I don't mean to sound arrogant when I say that, but I have to have faith in what I am doing. I have to have faith in the God that has called me. I have to have faith when God anoints me to pray. I have to believe that that's God speaking through me, and it's not me. Right. He said the church was no longer the mouthpiece of God. It's his own mouthpiece. So God is turning on her, and he will confound her through the prophet and the bride. For the voice of God will be in her. Amen. People relate that, oh, just through the prophet. No, in her. We have to be the seed coming into full manifestation. We have to be that seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost. We have to come to the place where that seed comes into full expression, which means we have to become the full expression of Jesus Christ. In order for that to happen, we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God that is in us and let him have the preeminence in our lives and have a control. And once we will make that transition, once we will begin to acknowledge, I am a son of God, I am a daughter of God, once we begin to understand God dwells inside of me, and the God who dwells inside of me is all-powerful and almighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And then allow that God to operate through you. And everybody, Brother Brown says, when the weakest of saints gets on her knees, Satan trembles. Weakest of saints. Okay. Anyway, and he swore by himself, Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, faith is unconscious. He says, you believe it? I've learned that in the years of travel around the world and meeting the people of all different walks, faith is unconscious. You got faith, and you don't even know it. That's right. Jesus, no matter if he was in the storm and the gale was knocking the boat from one side to the other, he was standing in the face of a mess of demons, or if he was hanging anywhere, it never moved him. He walked right on just as calm and quiet as he could be. Why? He was simply unconscious of fear of anything around him. That's right, whether it was going to happen or whether it wasn't going to happen. He knew that it was going to happen because God had said so. He said, you're here to fulfill it too. Just walk unconscious of fear. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious of the world. Walk as you walk in Christ. Walk with him and paying any attention to the right or to the left. Just keep on moving. He says, you'll have your ups and downs. Don't worry. You've got to go through the briar patches and over the sharp rocks and over the bluffs and down the hillsides and up the mountains and over the waters. But just walk with God. And the more we can walk with God, that's when we can have rest. When we walk with God and we know that he's there, then all of a sudden nothing. I mean, I look at the world situation. If I didn't believe what I believe, I would be scared. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what our government's going to try to do tomorrow. I know they're trying to destroy this nation. They're working. They're very good at it. They're doing an excellent job at that. But I have something inside of me that gives me rest. It doesn't matter what the government does. I'm part of a different kingdom. And God says, God says that if I will walk with him, he will take care of me. And one last thought. I did a study on Habakkuk a number of years ago, and that changed my life. Habakkuk, if you, it's only four chapters, if you read the book of Habakkuk, God was going to send judgment upon Jerusalem, upon the nation he was in. God was going to send the Chaldeans in. They loved to kill people. Habakkuk was scared of his own life, and he began to pray, and God spoke to him. He says, if you think you can, and I have to paraphrase, he says, if you think you can do it, you can survive it on your own, good luck. I'll just take my hands off and, you know, wish you luck. But he said, if you will put your faith in me, I will take care of you. This is where Paul goes back. The just shall live by faith. They will have faith in the God that has called them. Where if you can enter into that realms of faith, it doesn't matter what comes, doesn't matter what the government does, doesn't matter what the economy does. No, if you will walk in Christ, if you will take and put your total confidence in him, he will take care of you. God bless you. Brother Bob. God bless you, brother.
Wasn't that a rich message? Thank God that for that promise that where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together, because I believe we've gathered together around the word this morning. I just wrote down some things while our brother was speaking, to think that if you can be identified to know that we are his body and that this is who we are, that we don't have to put up with the devil. That's what our brother said. We don't have to put up with the devil this morning. So if you've got a need this morning, we've got a few minutes before noon. We got plenty of time, I believe. If you have a need, feel free to come up, and our brother will pray. And let's just sing a song and worship the Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God.
So good to me.
So much to be thankful for. For God, we can just cast everything on and we'll take care of our situation.
That's right.
Just remember Brother Wade, he's ministering this afternoon at the funeral for Lily. Just keep them in prayer and that he would be able to say something encouraging and helpful at this time. And remember that family.
Yes.
Remember all of them. Remember, we're meeting back here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So let's just have a quick prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless the people, Lord. Be with Brother Noel as he rests, Lord, and has a little break before the evening service, Lord. Just bless him this afternoon as we return. Be with your people now, we pray in your name. Amen. Sing it as we go.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just